Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning to those watching online as well. I'm excited to be with you this morning as we prepare our hearts and our mind to receive what God has for us today. I think it would be a fitting way for us to start our time together by learning through God's word is through prayer. And so I want to invite you to pray with me. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for what you have been up to and thank you for what you have done. Lord, thank you that you've invited a people such as us to dine at your table and become sons and daughters of the King. Lord, that's a seat that we do not deserve, but we are so thankful for. Lord, my prayer for us is that as we sit and consider your goodness, may it cause us to take a step of obedience. For many of us, it may look differently, but Lord, my prayer for us is that we will take a step to walk with you. So Jesus, we love you. Have your way in us and through us. Remind us of what is true, and may we respond accordingly. So Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we thank you. And Jesus, we pray all these things in your awesome and amazing name. Amen. As we have been over the last 6 weeks, we have been starting our time together in the Lord's Prayer found in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, which says this. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Today, we get to talk about the phrase found in verse number 12, which says this, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. That's also the title of the message today. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. As Adam and I were talking through teaching schedule, our schedules, and I saw where I would be teaching, I noticed that I got the privilege to talk about and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. If I'm gonna be honest with y'all, I was not excited. There are many a Sunday where I'm like, oh, praise God, I cannot wait to talk about that. Or praise God, thank you, Lord, for this text that I get to speak on and about and to illuminate. But today, I was not excited. Because typically when you talk about forgiveness, when we take a step of offering forgiveness, most people are very reluctant to do so. And I recognize in this room that there has been a lot of hurt. There have been a lot of people that should have done something, but they didn't do it. There was a lot of people in your lives that did not come through for you. There's a lot of people and a lot of things you've had to navigate that I could only imagine. And so I know that when we are talking about forgiving others, it is a hard soil to crack because of all the hurt already. But here's my prayer. My prayer today is that we will remember well and that we will remember that forgiveness is not based on the person in need of forgiveness, but here's what is true and here's what we're going to have to walk in today. Our forgiveness is not based on them. It is based on the perfect King who has forgiven us an outstanding debt, our sin. I'm going to say that again because I think we need to sit in it. Our forgiveness is not based on them. You are not offering forgiveness because the other person is deserving of it. You're not offering forgiveness because the other person even asked for it. You are offering forgiveness because the King, in his goodness and his kindness and his grace and his mercy, has offered you something you did not deserve. And because of what he has done, now we get to go and do likewise. Jesus has forgiven you of all your debts in the past, everybody. He's forgiven you of all your debts that you may have done last night or maybe this morning in traffic. I don't know. And he's also forgiving you of every debt that you will commit going forward. It says this in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. While you were in the midst of your sin, when you were in the midst of your debt, when you were in the midst of not running towards the King, what did he do? He made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Just to make sure you're listening, how many sins are included in all? See, some of y'all got nervous. You're like, I think it's all. I think I should say Jesus. I don't know. How many sins are included in all? Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Can we just sit in that for a second? All of your brokenness, all of your sin, all of your failures, Jesus dealt with it and paid for it in full with his life. And he has nailed it to the cross where he said, signed, sealed, delivered, it is finished. I have paid it in full. There is nothing left to be owed. That is what Jesus did. And having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. We must remember that Jesus forgave us before we even committed the infraction. Think about that for a second. As we think about what Jesus did about 2,000 years ago, think about the fact when he is surrendering his life on a cross, he is paying a debt for you, and you weren't even born. You were not a thought. But yet Jesus went ahead and paid your debt in full. That is what the King did on your behalf. That is the well of goodness that he brings to your life. That is the well of forgiveness that you get to drink from. And you do not deserve it. I do not deserve it. But he did it willingly. In 1 John 1:9, it says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins, all of them, and purify us from all unrighteousness. And then it goes on to say in Luke chapter 23, verse 33, when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Can we pause right there? And a lot of you are familiar with that verse. You've read it. Some of you could even quote it. But I want you to think about the irony in this moment. Jesus is up on a cross that he did not deserve. He is paying a debt that he did not owe. And what is he doing in the midst of this sacrifice? He is saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive the Roman soldiers who still have the essence of the nails on their fingertips. Forgive Pilate, who could have stood in and done something but chose not to do anything. Forgive my disciples who have scattered. Forgive them all. Forgive all of those that I healed and I gave a new lease on life who are not here right now. Lord, forgive them all of their debts. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Remembering well helps us forgive well. Whew. Remembering well helps us forgive well. See, y'all, a lot of times when we read scripture and we look at the Israelites or someone else in scripture, we go, How did you forget? How did you forget? When Jesus is doing the Last Supper with his disciples and he said, do this in remembrance of me. As you read that, you're going, how could anyone ever forget that you gave your life, you overcame the grave, and you got up 3 days later? How could we ever forget that? But here's what is true about you and I, guys. We are a forgetful people. We often forget the thing we should never forget, and we often remember the very thing that we should forget. Remembering well the forgiveness we have received helps us better steward forgiveness. Guys, when we remember well and we recognize what we have been saved from, it is hard for us to withhold forgiveness from others. It should be hard. In 1 John 2:9, it says this. And y'all, if you get mad at this, remember this is God's word. Don't be mad at me. But when I was reading this, I was like, this is rude and I don't like it. 1 John 2:9 says this, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. I wrote this truth down. The evidence that we have received the ultimate forgiveness is how well we offer it to others. The litmus test of us understanding this gospel that was given, this gospel and this free gift of grace that was given to us, the more we understand that, I believe the better we are able to steward forgiveness to other people. Because if you remember well all that God has saved you from, all you used to do, it is hard to withhold that from other people. Because you recognize the hot mess that you were and are still presently in the process of not being. But I think we forget. The evidence that we have received the ultimate forgiveness is how well we offer it to others. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Adam was preaching. And he gave some points and then he gave some checks. And I remember there was one that stood out to me. It was point number three in his message a couple of weeks ago. And here's what it was. It was, does God have your heart for his people? And I was mad at him, y'all. I was like, him and the Holy Spirit are all up in my business and I didn't invite them. And then here was the check. I didn't like this much better either. Is there a brother or sister in Christ that you are harboring resentment or bitterness towards? Is there someone that you keep bringing to trial and they don't even know it? Is there someone that you keep going back and going, look how they hurt me, look what they did, look what they did, look what they did, look what they did? And you keep reminding yourself of what they did to you and how they are not people who should receive forgiveness because of all the wrong they have done. Hear me, everybody. We have all been hurt in deep, deep ways. Some of you in ways I can never imagine or could even understand. But I'm also aware that we are a people that have been forgiven much. That we are a people that ran towards what we wanted, that we are a people that chose less than when God was offering us better than, that we are those people. And as I think about that, and as I check my heart and I check my posture, I go, wow. And in Matthew 6, verse 14, as you continue to read past the Lord's Prayer, it says this, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Jesus is saying this. He's saying, listen, those who truly understand the weight of their sin and the forgiveness that I've offered will truly be able to forgive others better. Because you will understand the debt that has been paid on your behalf. And I think so often, I'm going to talk about me, not you. So often I compare myself to others and not compare myself to the King. What do I mean by that? I go, well, look what they're doing, and I didn't do that. Like, I know that I have fallen short. I know that I don't always get it right. But Lord, let me tell you about what they did. Let me tell you about how they hurt me. Let me tell you about the chaos they created. Let me tell you about all the ways that they didn't do what they were supposed to do. I know I sometimes don't get it right, but here's the truth. The wages of sin is death. That means missing the mark means that we are deserving in a life separated from God. But the grace of the King is much better. And in the midst of our sin and our brokenness, he still offered us forgiveness when he didn't have to. Jesus is having a conversation with his disciple, and then Peter is going to ask a question. And if you've read God's word any, you know when Peter starts talking, you get nervous. Now, what is this brother going to say? And Peter is asking Jesus his question, and he's feeling very confident in the way he approaches it. And then Jesus is going to give an answer that we do not like, and then going to give an illustration that is far too close to home, and then he's going to reveal his heart and his posture. And as we look at Jesus' answer, I want to go ahead and warn you, you're not going to like it. And I know that because you and I both are humans. They're like, oh, really? We are. And I know how I felt about it. And I go, whew, that's hard. Matthew 18, verse 21 says this. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times. Y'all, Peter felt good about this. I'm sure his chest was bowed out. He's like, now, Jesus, these other disciples, I know they're only thinking, oh, I can forgive once or twice, but me, seven times, right? And it's funny because I read that and I'm like, man, Peter, but how often do I do the same thing? Lord, I've done forgiven them three times for doing the same wrong thing. How often do I have to keep forgiving them? How often do I have to keep offering grace to people who don't deserve it? And by the way, none of us do. How often? And we feel very justified. But Lord, look how many times I forgave them already. Look how many times they have blown it. Well, look at the wealth of things I've forgiven them for. But yet, up to seven times, and here's Jesus' answer. Prepare your hearts. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. What? Hey, Jesus, you doing that new math that I don't like. 77 times? Like, whoa, hold on, Jesus. That feels a bit much. But then when you look at it from the perspective of a king, how much has he forgiven us? How many times have you been forgiven? How many times have you messed up already today? Let's just be real. What about yesterday? But yet the king has forgiven you. He says 77 times, verse 23. And then Jesus is about to tell a story. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Remember, 10,000 bags of gold. That's a lot of debt, amen? You don't have to be a Bible scholar and go, ooh, that's a lot. And Jesus is using the extremes to reveal a point. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. Let's just make sure your mathing is mathing, okay? This servant was forgiven how many bags of gold? 10,000. Y'all, great, you're paying attention. He went and found his servant who owed him 100 silver coins. He was forgiven 10,000 bags of gold. He goes and finds his servant who was guilty of owing him 100 bags of coin. And this is what he did. He grabbed him and began to choke him. That's a strong reaction, amen? Like, give me my 100 silver coins. I'm gonna choke you out. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Verse 33. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? I would encourage you maybe to underline that verse. In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Woo. I want you to sit in the weight of that. Because some of them, well, Jesus, that feels a bit strong. But I want you to remind you that Jesus is going, listen, I want you to understand the length I went to forgive you. I want you to understand that the wages of your sin was death, but I'm going to take that on myself and pay your debt in full. I want you to understand that the extent of my love goes far beyond what you could ever hope or imagine. And I want you to understand that how could you come to the well of forgiveness and not invite others to drink? Because you have been forgiven much. And if you truly understand what you have been forgiven from and what you have been forgiven for, then you would be better at giving this forgiveness. And guys, I don't mean we always get it right, but I think we have to remember what God has done on our behalf. Because when you think about what you have done and you think about what the King has forgiven you for, how could we withhold forgiveness from somebody else? How could we drink from the well of forgiveness we don't deserve to drink from and not offer someone else a drink? I was talking to a buddy this week and we were talking about it and he framed it in a really good way. And this is true for most of us, is we love to drink from the well of forgiveness, but we struggle to give others a drink. Yo, we'll be out in these streets testifying about what God has forgiven us for, right? Let me tell you about my King. Let me tell you what I used to be, what I used to do, but let me tell you what God did on my behalf. He paid a debt that I could not pay back. He took on a cross that I deserved. He overcame the grave, which I should have had my burial in. That's what Jesus did for me. And we will testify and we will share that. And we'll go look at the well that I got to drink from. Then how could we, being freed from so much, not offer forgiveness to others? And guys, hear me. I know the argument that you're posing in your head. But Nick, you don't know. But Nick, you don't know the hurt that was caused. Nick, you don't know the havoc. Nick, you don't know the evil that was done to me. Guys, I don't. But I do know the forgiveness that was offered to you. I do know that. And our forgiveness is not based on them. It's based on the forgiveness we have received from the King himself. So there are some unpleasant observations from forgiveness that I want to share with you. The first one is this: forgiveness is never convenient. Forgiveness is never convenient. Let me just go ahead and free you up. There's never going to be a time where you go, okay, now I feel good about it. Now I'm in a place in my life where I think I'm ready and it's convenient for me to offer forgiveness. Forgiveness is never going to be convenient. And you might be going, well, I'm waiting for the best time. The best time to offer forgiveness is right now. And I know, and I feel the pushback for some of you. Some of you, I didn't like that. Me neither. But the truth of the matter is, I have drank long and hard from the well of forgiveness. And because of that, I have been called to offer forgiveness. It's never going to be convenient. Listen, when they came to the garden to get Jesus, it wasn't convenient. He was spending time with his Father. When they beat him and his body was broken, it was not convenient. When they nailed him to the cross, bearing our sin and shame, it was not convenient. And I hear you, but there's never going to be a convenient time. Forgiveness is never convenient. Number two, forgiveness is not about forgetting, but about not focusing on the infraction. Let me go ahead and free you up a little bit. The Lord forgets, you don't. Some of you are like, well, what? Yeah, I'll say that again. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is able to forget. You're a human. You don't forget. There are things that you have endured. There are things that you have had to walk through in your life. And you're going, well, I should just forget. You're not going to forget those things. But here's the point. The point is to not focus on the wrong over and over again. Because here's what I know about myself. What I'm focused upon is what I walk towards. So if you keep focusing on the infraction and focusing on the infraction and focusing on the infraction, you are never going to be able to walk in freedom and forgiveness. You're not. They shouldn't have done that. Yes, it is true. Focus on the King and what he has done for you. And the more you focus on the goodness of the king, the less you're gonna focus on the infraction and the hurt. Which is true. And it's about an invitation for freedom. Robert Madu, one of my favorite pastors, says this: forgiveness is not about keeping score, it's about losing count. Whew. Listen, I bet if I was to ask you how many times that person has hurt you, you could probably give me a pretty good number. If I say, hey, tell me all the things, give me 5 stories of the way they hurt you, I bet you would be quick to tell me. But maybe it's time to stop keeping score so that we can lose count. Listen, I'm not excusing what they have done to you, but what I am saying is, if you don't offer forgiveness, you're going to be the ones walking in those shackles. Forgiveness must sometimes be given even before it is asked for. Woo! Forgiveness must sometimes be given even before it is asked for. And I hear you. I hear my own resistance to this. That's not fair. Let me just tell you, I fully agree with you. It's not fair. But last time I checked, the fair left town last week. Because if we really think about it, let's get real. If we really think about it, do we really want the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to operate with fairness in mind? Like, think about it. Do you really want it to be fair? I know we want it to be fair with others, but do we really want it to be fair with the king? Because he was perfect. I mean, he never made a mistake. He is holy and set apart, and he surrendered his life to win you back. That ain't fair. He bore the sin of the world, and all of our sins were cast upon him. That was not fair. It was not fair that him, having no debt, paid a debt that we could not pay. Not fair. So be careful when you talk about fair. Because we really honestly, when we get down to the root of it, we don't want it to be fair. Well, let me say that. Say it a different way. We don't want it to be fair between us and the king, but we want it to be fair with each other. Grace is never fair, everybody. Mercy is never fair. Forgiveness ain't fair. And praise God, it's not. Number 4. Forgiveness not only sets them free, but also sets you free. Forgiveness not only sets them free, but also sets you free. Dr. Henry Cloud says it this way: forgiveness doesn't deny your pain, it releases the power of pain over you. Listen, we can keep holding them in contempt of court, but I want you to know that they're not bothered by it. Someone in the lobby last service said, hey, Nick, it's like drinking poison and hoping they will die. Because I get it. It's not denying your pain. I'm not telling you that what they did to you was not wrong. I'm not telling you the hurt they caused was not real. I get it. But what I am saying is that the king has invited you to freedom, and you can't walk in freedom if you continue to walk in the shackles of unforgiveness. And also know that freedom is a process. Y'all, in just a moment, you're gonna have an opportunity to write a name down or a couple of names down of people you need to forgive. And you're going to wake up tomorrow and you're going to be like, man, what a powerful moment we had in church on Sunday. And then all the things they did to you is going to come back to mind. And it might be because they send you a text. And you might want to go back to that dark place and go, see, Lord, see, you see what they did? And the Lord's going to go, yeah, and I paid for that too. It's a process, y'all. As I was thinking about this message, I had a great illustration, y'all, I was proud of. It was about me and my dad and how the Lord has reconciled us and how we've been able to offer forgiveness to each other, and I've forgiven him of all that he wasn't growing up like, y'all. It was beautiful. But the Holy Spirit got in my business. And he said, you know what, Nick? I don't want you to share about your dad. That's great. I did some work there. You're right. But I want you to share about your mom. And my mom, guys, my mom, the best way to describe her, she's a rose. She's beautiful with thorns. What I mean from that, she could fill a room with her aroma, but she will also cut you and cause you pain. My mom went home to be with Jesus many, many years ago, and it took me a lot of years of counseling and intensive at a counseling center to get to the point where I could say it as simply as that. My mom was capable of much good, but also great evil. And guys, there's still moments in my own life when I'm parenting my kids, when I'm trying to love my wife, when I'm walking in relationship with other people, where the remnants and the chaos that my mom caused in my life and some of those scars become open again. There are moments when I think about certain family members and the impact she had in a negative way where I'm like, God, why? And y'all, it's hard. Because I still get angry and I still get mad and I still go, God, she was not what she was supposed to be. She was my mom. She was supposed to do it right. She was supposed to build up, not tear down. She was supposed to be the mom that protected, not hurt. I get angry, y'all. And I get angry at the rippling effects of her unhealth that are still showing itself in my life today. But I get the opportunity to go, all right, God, I trust you and I forgive her still. It's not fun, it's not convenient, it's not pleasant, it's not any of those things. But when I remember what the King has done, what he has forgiven me from, what he's offered to me that I did not deserve, it becomes more difficult to harbor bitterness in my own heart towards my mom. So I want you to hear me say, like, this isn't one and done. Like, today you're going to have this moment and everything's going to be okay. That's not what I'm saying. Because here's the truth of the matter. Someone's going to hurt you again. And it might be a spouse. It might be a parent. Might be a friend. Might be a coworker, might be a neighbor. You will be hurt again, I promise you. And you're gonna have a choice to make. Am I going to allow bitterness to take root in my heart and unforgiveness, or am I gonna remember well what I have been forgiven from the goodness of a King and the grace he has offered me so I can better offer forgiveness because of what I have been forgiven from? So the question for you, is there someone you need to forgive? Not because they deserve it, but because you have been forgiven. And hear me, maybe for you, it's you. Maybe for you, you can't get past all the wrong you've done and the havoc you have created in your life. And you're going, Lord, how could you forgive me? And y'all, that's the audacious thing about grace. It doesn't make sense, but it's oh so good. And Jesus offers it to you. And so maybe the person is you, or maybe it's your mom, or a friend, or a brother, or a sister. I don't know, but maybe today is the day where you begin to walk in freedom. So in just a moment, we are going to do something that's going to be hard, but beautiful. See, we're going to be able to take the Lord's Supper to remember the forgiveness that was given to us that we were undeserving of. And as you walked in, hopefully the greet team handed you one. If they didn't, they're going to be around the room and they can bring you some of the elements. And then you also received a card. Here's what this card is for. In just a moment, I'm going to give you some time and I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind who you need to forgive. Then I'm going to ask you to take a very bold step and write their names down. Then I'm going to come back up here and I'm going to pray over us. And then once the worship team begins to lead us, whenever you feel compelled, I want you to bring that card and put it at the altar. And up there in the balcony, we're going to have some pseudo altars that are going to look like a basket up there for you. And I want you to bring that, and here's what it's doing. It's allowing you to let the shackles of unforgiveness to fall off of you so you can walk in a better way. And remember, you're not offering forgiveness because they deserve it. You're offering forgiveness because you have been forgiven much. You're offering forgiveness because God has been good to you. In Luke chapter 12, verse 48, says this. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. What's interesting about that verse in particular, I think it's a little ironic. That is a verse that my mom would say to me all the time. She would say, Nick, to much is given, much is required. And again, my mom was the one who spoke life into me, but also sometimes would take it. But those words she would say to me as a kid and a teenager and a 20-year-old growing up, so true. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required, and to whom much has been entrusted, much of him they will ask all the more. So hear me when I say this. You have been forgiven much. You have. And so because you have been forgiven much, now we get to forgive much. And when that happens, everyone, that's the intersection of heaven and earth. Because that's supernatural. We can't do that in our own strength. The only way we're able to do it is because we've tasted and seen God's grace and his goodness. So that's the only way we can invite others to the well, because we drink from it all the time. So with your elements in hand, we get to be reminded of the payment that was paid on our behalf. Jesus took that bread and he said, "This is my body that was broken on your behalf. Take and eat." Then he raised the glass and he said, "This represents my blood that's going to be poured out on your behalf." And they took it and they drank. Jesus, thank you. Lord, thank you for your body that was broken. Thank you for your blood that was shed. And thank you that because we have been forgiven much, we are now better able to forgive much. Jesus, thank you. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Now take those cards, everybody. Get the cards in your hand. And I'm going to give you a moment just between you and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to come back up here. I'm going to pray over us. Then whenever you feel led here in just a moment, I want you to come drop these cards at the baskets all around the room. And y'all, this is a dangerous ask. But I know that for some of you in this room, when you knew I was talking about forgiveness, the Holy Spirit already brought to mind who it is. So I want you to take a couple of moments in the stillness of this room and be honest. Take some time right here, right now, and I'll come back up here in just a moment. What some of us hold in our hands is a key to unlocking the shackles of unforgiveness that we have been walking in for a long, long time. In just a moment, when I'm done praying and our worship team begins to lead us, whenever you feel compelled, I want to invite you to take a step into freedom. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you that you allow us the capacity to forgive far beyond what we think we can. Jesus, thank you that we are able through your Holy Spirit and through your power and because of your blood that has redeemed and cleansed us and made us new, that we are able to offer grace to those who may have hurt us most deeply. And Jesus, I pray that we will remember that as we navigate in all the voices in our head, this isn't giving them victory over us. This is us walking in victory. And so Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you that you have forgiven us much. And thank you that we are able to forgive much. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we thank you. And Jesus, we pray all these things in your awesome and amazing name. Amen.